Enjoy them. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray. We're going to talk today about the new year, the new earth, and the new heaven. Is there really such a thing? Question. I want you to open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. That's right after Proverbs, right after Psalms, and it's written by the preacher. And the preacher being also the king, and the king being also the son of David, his name was Solomon. If you ever want to know how to be happy in the flesh, this is the book for you, because that's what it's written about, is man's flesh body and how you satisfy it. That is to say, the man that walks under the sun is a Hebraism that means flesh body. Not necessarily your soul, not your spirit, but your flesh body, and how it finds contentment, how it can find peace of mind. Not that that has anything to do with this session today, but that's what Ecclesiastes, by the preacher, is about. Verse 1 of that chapter 1 reads, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." And, as I stated, Solomon, of course. "Vanity of vanities," this is the word in the Hebrew that means emptiness, emptiness, saith the preacher. "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." It's just kind of all empty. Sometimes you may wake up in your life and think, boy, it is really empty. Just seems like nothing ever happens, that it always ends up as it was. Could be a reason for that. Verse 3, "What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" Which means a earth man, flesh man, working on the earth under the sun. All right? "One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." Now, and it's true, you may have a title to the land, the house you live in, and the land you live upon. I'm sorry. Give another generation, if we make it, somebody else is going to own it. It's not going to be yours. And do you know something? Before you moved there, it was somebody else's property. So, really, it's not going to be much of a monument to you. That's the point, all right? Verse 5, "The sun also ariseth," you know, comes up in the east every morning, "and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose." Same thing. Comes up every morning, goes down in the west every night, circles the old globe, and boom, there she pops right back up next morning. "The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits." That's to say, in the season. You all might have noticed out there this morning, a little bit of a north wind. Why? It's the season. It's winter. Shouldn't be any surprise to you. It happens every winter that sooner or later the wind switches to the north and Minnesota gets snowed. All right? It happens. Excuse me. In other words, that shouldn't be any surprise to you. None of this, boy, we're really having strange weather lately. It's not like it was last summer here in December. Well, of course it isn't. It happens all the time. Verse 7, "All the rivers run into the sea, Yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Hey, vaporizes in the clouds, rains in the mountains or wherever, back into the little branches, streams, back into the creeks, back into the river, back into the sea. Over and over. Just keeps on happening. And praise God for it. Verse 8. All things are full of labor. That better translated weariness. If you let it, it could weary you. It's so much the same. Alright? Man cannot utter it. Just can't quite grasp it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That's to say, in the labor of society, so to speak. You know, you ask as many people as you want to, and some of us have the world problems all figured out, or we think we do, and then find out we really didn't know that much about what we were talking about, or had it figured out as well as perhaps we should have. The opposite of this, let me just give you a clue, is read about it in tomorrow's newspaper. It's right here. It's God's Word. It tells you what tomorrow brings. For a very obvious reason. Verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Over and over, generation after generation. There's just nothing new under the sun. Maybe new to you. But it's not new if you're familiar with the book. Verse 10. Is there anything thereof it might be said, whereof it might be said, see, this is new. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Verse 11, there is no remembrance of former things. Among who? Men. It's written here, all the former things. But have you read it? Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Nothing new under the sun. Yeah, we got a new year. Everybody's looking forward to the new year. Wonder what it will bring. Well, it really isn't that difficult to figure out if you look at it God's way. Now, some people will tell you that God contradicts himself, that he doesn't always stay right on course, or man messed up the scriptures. So if you would, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 66. 65, I think I'm going to take it. Isaiah 65, excuse me, and we're going to see what Father's Word said. Remember, nothing new under the sun. What have the translators done to us? Because listen to this. God speaking, verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Yeah, and you're going to get a new year. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. In other words, what you're living now, when the third earth age and heaven age come in, you're not going to be really all that interested in this flesh age. Big deal. Except for what you remembered the Father that purchased you eternal life. And hey, it doesn't take all that long. Doesn't take all that long because you are just passing through. But you won't even remember the things that are so important to you right now that your life depends on, it seems like. You're going to find didn't mount a hill of beans. Wasn't important at all compared to those things that are truly valuable, that is to say, how well you understand the Word of God and how well you serve Him. thus blessings falling in your life, and that's the only way they're going to come in your life. I'm sorry, otherwise it's a flub up from start to finish. Because this is the set of instructions that tell you how to be happy, find peace of mind, and quite frankly, be successful. So he's going to, what does he mean? There's nothing new under the sun, and yet again, we're going to create a whole new ball game. Okay, well, let's read about the ball game a little bit here, 19. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Not going to be one tear shed. Well, boy, that hasn't happened yet, has it? Certainly hasn't. They cry peace, 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 and it seems like it's always battle, battle, battle. Might be only rubber bullets and rocks at times, but it still brings death all the same. They used rocks in Jerusalem a long time ago. It was called stoning, all right? So it is serious. We haven't seen that peace, 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 and you were warned, quite frankly, by the Lord himself in one of the seven signs that consummate the end of this age. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't worry. You're not near the end. But when they start crying, peace, peace, you better get your head out of the sand. Well, that's been cried for a long time. Didn't say peace was going to come. But he said they're going to cry it and mouth it anyway. Wake up. We've been in that generation since the year of 1948. They still cry it. Verse 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. That loses a lot in the translation. What it says is really, there's no longer going to be an infant die that's just a few days old, nor is a man going to be called old at 100 years old. In other words, time is not of importance to our Father. Time means nothing to Him. So that's why you want to be real careful when you think, well, what is tomorrow bringing and what does tomorrow mean? You should, but what I'm saying is, understand how important it is to your Father. He's been forever. And He's going to be here forever. So time is not important. It's whether or not you love Him. That's all He wants from you, is your love. And when you love someone, you cannot help serving them. It's just automatic. Okay? No more death. Why? Death will be destroyed at this time. But it is true. Those that are accursed and choose, then you make your own choice. You can't blame it on anyone else. You make your own choice. If you're accursed, yep, that's going to be it. But you're not going to grow old and you're not going to die young. You're just going to go. That's it. 21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. Not going to be any usury and not going to be any middleman or taxation or a king that's going to take your property. You're going to enjoy every ounce of it. That hasn't happened yet. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. Watch the tree. That's why it's important. Watch the evergreen. Watch the oak. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. My elect will long enjoy their faith. They're going to long enjoy the reward for their wishing. Will long enjoy their rewards for saying, I'm saved. It doesn't say that. It said the elect will long enjoy the labor of their hands. Your hands, what do you do with them? You work. And it means work for God. That might be with your mind ultimately, or whatever. But it means you put a little into the Father's plan by studying, letting Him know you love. Hey, do you know, it makes His day. There's not very many people. You got a lot of people that will say, well, I'm going to give God a little time, get out the salt shaker, get out the sprinkle water, you know, put a circle around. Thank you, God. God looks down and says, what kind of idiot is that? He's very intelligent. If you love Him, say, Father, I love You. He doesn't need the salt shaker and all. You could be driving down the road. Father, I love You. You're so good to me. You give me this air to breathe. You've given me life. You've given me friends. You've given me family. I love You for that. Just makes His day, because there are not that many people that don't beat around the bush and try to go in circles and con God. You're just direct and right to Him. That's the way He likes it. And I really don't know how I got off on that. But anyway, maybe somebody needed it. I don't know. I don't know what this has to do with the new year, but maybe it's to tell you how to get along with today. I don't know. But you enjoy your labor forever for Him. Not a passing thing. It's not like laboring for wherever you work, spend the check, it's gone. You enjoy it, all you're going to get out of it. But when you labor for Him, Ezekiel chapter 44 will document that for you when you understand what the election inherits. They inherit God Himself. Along about verse 27 will inform you of that, Ezekiel 44. Verse 23, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It really, now, it is not true that you can buy your child's salvation by your labors. That won't cut it. But if you labor in front of your child, and the child sees the rewards that you receive for it, you know, children are a lot smarter than people give them credit for. They think pretty soon, well, mom and dad are pretty successful, and they love the Lord, and they serve Him, and He blesses them. Why would I want it any other way? Sure, they may get off the beaten path, but when they wake up in the real world someday, shake the fog out a little bit, you learn where blessings come from, and they know it. So naturally it falls off on your children. Why? Because they're going to react the same way you have. 24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now think for a moment. That gives you a time clue. Why? He's going to be here. He's going to be with us when this transpires. 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. No carnivores, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. I like to translate that ashes. It won't fly, but I still do, because that's what it's really going to be, okay? They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. So, does that sound new to you? It kind of does, doesn't it? So what did he mean there's nothing new under the sun? Nothing new for the man in the flesh. God never makes a mistake. So it really can't be new. It means we can't quite understand it. I'm asked the question many times, well, I had this wonderful old dog, Rover, who grew up with me, and I had that dog for years and years. Will I see that dog in heaven? Well, the dog wasn't specifically mentioned there, but there were animals. So animals, yes, will be there. God loves all His creation. Even the lion and so forth. And they are going to be there, but they're not going to be meat eaters. But I got some news for you, too. You're not going to be me either, okay? So, well, that sounds new, doesn't it? Well, is it really? Is it really? Okay, now, we're going to stay right in this book of Isaiah. Skip down to the 13th verse of the next chapter, chapter 66, and it reads, as one, this is God, the thought continues, this is how God loves you, and I want you to think about it. I want you to really think about it. If you ever think that He's forsaken you, remember this verse. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Do you know how a mother comforts a babe? She cradles it on her lap, and she nurses it. And then you can almost, through that, understand God's love for you. And also, you could understand in the Hebrew why His name, El Shaddai, means both breast and womb. Supposedly the most safe place for man is the mother's womb and the loving nurture of the breast, El Shaddai. That's one of God's names. And it really comes through in this especially. That He says, I love you like a mother. Now don't make anything strong gender from that. He's likened the love of a mother, and you're not going to find a greater love, tenderness, than that mother. Women can naturally understand this verse a lot better than men. But then if you exercise the mind and remember back to the days that you had with your mother and what a comfort she was to you, it'll begin to click, all right? God always takes care of His own. That's what He's saying. In a very close, loving way. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish, your health, like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward His servants. And His indignation toward His enemies. God's tribulation, I've heard people say, oh, dread that tribulation. Well, why don't you be a servant of God and then you don't have to worry about it, because the tribulation is only on the enemies. If you're a Christian and you love Him, the tribulation doesn't mean anything to you, even if you were standing in the middle of it. Just like Daniel, the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, they weren't singed. Why? They were children of God. As an example to you, you haven't got anything to be uptight about, because God doesn't hate you. He loves you. 15, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with His chariots like a whirlwind to render His anger with fury and His rebuke with flames of fire. Woo! That's to His enemies. God is a consuming fire. But what does that fire do to you? It's the hand of God when He touches you. And the Holy Spirit warms your heart. That fire burns the wicked. But it warms and coddles you like a mother does her babe. To have that Holy Spirit dwelling within you. You don't have to worry about the tribulation. You don't have to exercise fear, but love to your Heavenly Father. 16, for by fire and by His sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. As it is written, this is spiritual, all right? Strictly spiritual. Lot's not going to make it, though. Sorry. It's their choice. They can't blame anyone else. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree, and this is not a good tree, this is an Asheroth, from which the word Ishtar and then Easter comes from, all right? In the midst, this is where they roll the eggs for fertility rites, all right? Remember where the name came from? Eating swine's flesh. And the abomination You know what the abomination is? Have you ever read the book of Mark, chapter 13, the abomination of desolation? That's to say, Satan standing in the holy place, claiming to be Jesus. And the mouse, very unclean, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. Hey, he's a consuming fire. 18, for I know their works and their thoughts. Now this is what gets them, see. They go in trying to con God. Well, this is what I'll tell him. No, he knows what you're thinking. You can't get away with that. Can't con him. He understands the thoughts of the flesh. Sometimes we don't have very good thoughts. You know, sometimes we get a really bad thought. Well, it's not your spirit that's doing it, it's your flesh. Cool it. Cool it, because it ain't cool. Alright? But it happens. Alright? But he knows that, and he understands it. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, that means all people, Gentiles, so forth, and they shall come and see my glory. They're going to get a chance to see and truly understand exactly what he is. Listen carefully, 19. And I will set a sign among them. Oh, what is that sign? His people are his sign. Don't ever forget it. God's elect are his sign. They do the warning. And I will send those that escape of them unto the nations. That's to say, those that escape the stupidity of those that are biblically illiterate with the truth of God's word. To Tarshish. This means the far west, quite frankly. It was the ships of Tarshish that sailed. We're kind of situated in the far west, all right? Pull and lewd, Africa, all of it, including Egypt, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan. Tubal, you remember Meshach, Tubal and Rosh. I don't have to tell you who that is. You can read about it in Ezekiel 38 and 39. To the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, that haven't heard the truth, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. I thank our Father that he has blessed this little old church, that of all the independent churches in the Americas, and I think the world, we have the largest congregational audience, active. This little church has more active members via television and radio than any other independent. Understand what I'm saying now. I'm not saying large denominations. I'm saying independent, singular church. That's quite a platform that God has whittled out for us. Goes around the world. We go to those Gentiles. It isn't liked by some, but God blesses it. Am I saying we're doing everything? No. But it's good to be blessed and be a part, a very large part. And God continues to bless. As the new thing seemingly come into a reality, being a reality. Verse 20. And they shall bring all their brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Israel, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel. What is your vessel? It's your body, your flesh. That's an earthen vessel into the house of the Lord. I find the word swift beast very interesting in the Hebrew. It's karkara, karkara. And it comes from the most usually a dancing, fast animal. What did they have to judge by? They chose a dromedary, a camel, right? But it comes from the prime, kera, which means to move in a circle very fast. Think back of Ezekiel's time and perhaps you'll better understand when the curtain is pulled. And you're able to understand. 21, and I will Also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. Again, Ezekiel 44, during the millennium period, which this is discussing, explains in detail what the Levitical priests, he's going to take some for that. That's those that were deceived when the false Messiah appears. But when the election, which are called Zadok in the Hebrew tongue, which means the just, upright, elect, will serve God directly, but the others will teach the people. What a time of teaching that's going to be, the millennium, for those that, as he just stated, have not had an opportunity to hear. It's going to be a great time. 22. For as the new heavens, there's that term again, nothing new under the sun, and here he said it again. For as the new heavens and the new earth, wow, we're really getting there now, a new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. That is, if you love him. Sounds kind of like a contradiction, doesn't it? And for one that hadn't read, yes, it would. But stick around just a few more moments here. 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Could be better translated, for all those that have been in the flesh, for they shall no longer be in the flesh. And then one verse that really throws many people, let's read it, verse 24. Some scholars don't even let this chapter in, this book end with this verse, they move it. Because it sounds too negative and they don't understand. 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For, and Jesus quoted this in Mark 9:44, you'll remember, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Strange statement, when especially there's not going to be any flesh, because in the twinkle of an eye, at the seventh trump, all are changed. But it's drawing from the same thing that Christ drew from. At the head of the Valley Hinnom was the garbage pit for Jerusalem called Gehenna. And Christ likened it to hell because things burned there night and day, trash from the city. And people threw carcasses on it of animals, dead animals. And actually the worms got there from flies. And he made a very graphic description. But it is what takes place a little further down the valley of Hinnom that we get Jehoshaphat in the Hebrew tongue, which is to say the valley of judgment. And that's where Armageddon takes place, supposedly, in the valley of Hinnom. So, a cleansing, and that's strictly cleansing. God loves his children that love him, and he curses his enemies. Choice is yours. Whichever category you wish to be in, presto, he gives you that freedom. It's yours. All yours. To live with, to live in, to abide by, and be forever, either ashes, because that's all it's going to be. There's not going to be any tears there. No suffering, except for one moment to know, I didn't make it on earth very well, and I'm sure not making it here. Okay? But everybody will be brought to full knowledge before that decision is made. I'm not trying to frighten anyone. I'm saying it's your choice. Do I care? Yeah. I like your company. And boy, are we going to have a good time for a long, long time. Wished you were here. Okay? Naturally. But it's still your choice, because we have that freedom of choice. But now back to the question. There is nothing new under the sun, and yet we're going to have new heavens and new earths, and yeah, it's sure going to be different than this one. That's obvious. where there's no tears, and picture yourself out of the flesh body and think of all your sins and see how many of them would never have been committed. I mean, it's a good thought exercise. Separate yourself from the flesh body for a moment. Lock Satan in an abyss, as he's going to be, and think how many of your sins would have been actually impossible because you're no longer in the flesh. Okay? But we see a little taste, if you think of that and know it's replaced by things far better, far more pleasure, far more pleasing, a far better life. But has God misled us in this, or are we not quite expanding our horizons whereby we can understand what he's saying? And I will tell you this, God is always right. Job chapter 38, in closing, turn there with me. You're all familiar with this chapter. It's after 38 chapters of Job's friends ratchet jawing. You know what ratchet jaw is? That's ratchety, 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 telling Job what he did right and what he must have done because it's obvious God has abandoned him. They're all trying to figure out what happened to poor old Job, and they're all giving him their advice. Question, do you take man's advice? Doesn't hurt to listen, but you better check it out in God's Word, okay? Okay, concerning the thought, what does he mean, new heavens and new earth? Chapter 38, verse 1, then the Lord, after 38 chapters of men talking, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkened counsel by words without knowledge? Who are these idiots you're listening to, Job? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. In other words, if you know so much, Job, and you've learned so much by listening to these knuckleheads, people that are stupid, have no knowledge whatsoever concerning what is. He said, gird yourself, get up from the dirt, and stand up and act like a man. I translate that as it's written. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Whoa, hey, we don't know about that. We didn't get to see that. We didn't get to see our Father how it was to determine whether there's anything new under the sun. You weren't there. You hadn't been, your soul had not been created. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Question. And that is to say, how far did you decide to put the sun and the moon and Jupiter and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other? How did you decide how did you know the measure came to be that this is where it should all happen, orbiting out here so they don't bump into each other and so forth? Where were you, Job? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Who actually did it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? What holds this earth in its present position? What fastens it here? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Job's three friends sure didn't. Stars are likened unto men, God's children. 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all, how many? The first batch, the first few, all the sons of God shouted for joy. There's no gender in that. The whole bunch, the whole, I probably shouldn't use this, but I will, the whole hatch, all right? All of them. They were so happy and content. Does that kind of sound like what he was describing in Isaiah 66? In Isaiah 65, as far as happiness and singing, not one thing that offends? Kind of sounds like that, doesn't it? So it's not new after all, is it? It's just that not too many people broaden their horizon to where the children of God were before they were their soul was dispatched to enter your mother's womb to enjoy this great life in the flesh. All right? To experience all its delicious attributes, to bring you joy and happiness, one to all. Okay? No, it was real good there till a knucklehead came along. And the knucklehead was called Lucifer. And he threw a wrench in the combine, all right, and parts started flying. It's not going to happen again. But what I want you to know is it was that perfect once before. And it wasn't God or you that messed it up. It was Satan that started a chain reaction. But there is nothing new under the sun. It was that way once before. And it's going to return that way again. Right after the katabol, which is to say the flood of Satan's time. Verse 8. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I brought about the destruction, not talking about Noah's flood, we're talking about the big one. Who finally brought it back under control? Of course, God did. He brought things back to where they are now. No, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just that man forgets what was because he doesn't study God's Word. Thus, he's got to play guessing games or listen to his three friends. Oh, yes, I heard something wonderful today. Got it off the net. Yes. Oh, Lord. You know, it all fits so well and everything. Well, does it align with God's Word? Well, no, but. Now, that's what it is. It's a bunch of buts, all right. Just one after the other. You know? Ratchety, ratchety, ratchety. Stay with God's Word. There is nothing new under the sun. And it doesn't take a bright person very long to understand that if there's nothing new, and the reason that has been is going to happen again, it was your father's way of telling you, hello, are you home? This is the way it's going to happen. Have you read it? Hello, are you there? Man says, I'm going to ask my friend. Now, there's nothing new under the sun. It's so easy to figure out. So don't listen to man. Check yourself out in God's Word because you, my friend, are the one that will answer for your deeds. And any time it begins to look like you think God's pulling our leg, it says it right there in the King James Bible. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. So how can he say somewhere else there's nothing new under the sun? Because here between his ears he has a block. And it's called stupidity. That he didn't go back to the first earth age and clock on or log on to net.com about the world that was. So he's ignorant of those facts. Man brings so much trouble upon himself, and learning is such a long, complicated life, especially if your Vesta or the things of that you draw from are things of the world, you haven't got a prayer. Draw from your Father's Word. That is considered new is only new to those that are confused. I want to say that again. That is considered new is only new to the biblically illiterate. Because there is nothing new under the sun. Nor will there be anything new under the sun. God is the same yesterday, today, and He will be forever, and He's not changing. Because He had it perfect then until Satan messed up. So, Happy New Year. And enjoy it, but enjoy it in the Father, moving ahead and growing in your mind and knowledge about what has been, because let me tell you something, it's going to be again. Match it and log it. It's exact. God's Word is a precise instrument, and you can always depend on it. You can't depend on man, all right? Thank God man's not in control. God is. Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your Word, of serving you. Father, we ask that you look down upon this globe as it is at this time. We know we are approaching that time, and we know there's nothing new under the sun. Thank you for letting us know and be aware of this. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen. Free introductory package. Hey, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folks that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be found in the Scriptures. With the assistance of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldee, or Greek in which God's Word was written. The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strong's Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
Oh, hey, we come to that season of the conception. Jesus Christ was conceived on December the 25th. And inasmuch as he was conceived on December the 25th, it was that same day when Mary rushed to Elizabeth, her cousin, and John, who was 6 months in her womb at that time, leapt because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So when did Christ begin dwelling with us? December the 25th. So don't ever, even though he was born in that year, September the 29th, don't take away from your children the celebration of the conception. And what about evergreen? Christ would say in that great book of Hosea, I am a giant fir tree. What does it symbolize? Never let heathenism take away the true meaning that God gives something. It means eternal life. Why? Because evergreen never sheds. You know, most oak trees come winter, the leaves die. The tree doesn't, but the leaves die. But an evergreen is always green, which symbolizes eternal life. Now, it isn't really true that evergreen doesn't shed unless you buy plastic ones, okay? And then sometimes they do. But they are always green. That's the point, all right? So never, never let heathenism and ignorance on the Christian's part be robbed or taken away by mystics and that sort of thing. And what about the gifts of the wise men? They were to Christ The gifts weren't for people, but to Christ. So there's nothing new about gift giving to the Lord on that day. And like, even though it is fiction, I've always loved that little drummer boy. That's all he had was his drum. All he had. And he gave all he had to the little newborn. That put him right up there with the kings. Okay, so just a word of caution. Don't let legalism rob you of your intelligence concerning the truth. What really happened and what transpired. Therefore, allowing you to protect your credibility in the community, teach your children the truth, and let it go from there. All right. Okay, let's see what kind of questions we have today. Pete from Wisconsin. I'm a new student, and my question is, what happened to the Ark of the Covenant and its contents? I look forward to your program and your teaching. Well, thank you. It's good to have you aboard. I want you to read the last two verses of the 11th chapter of Revelation, and there you will find your answer. God did not leave it on earth, I do not believe, and I think that Revelation 11, the last two verses, document it. The Ark of the Covenant is the equivalent of the Ark of the Testament, and the contents are still within it, well preserved. Sylvia from Oklahoma. Circumcision of the heart, please explain. Well, the original circumcision of the flesh naturally was for men only. And there had to be blood to make the covenant stand. Then Christ opened the ministry. There would be women involved also, as we read in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Therefore, circumcision of the heart is when one dresses down the old man, sheds that a little bit, and takes in the new man in the form of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And when he touches you, it brings about a circumcision of the heart, or better yet, the mind. I will just be real. God expects us to face everything in reality. It helps keep the mind much cleaner, the same as it would the heart. I'll say that in pass. Carlos from Michigan, do you have elders in your church? What do they do? Well, yes, we have elders in our church, and they're my boss. They are the ones that have the right to fire me if they so choose. And so what they do is they watch to make certain that I dot my I's and make my Q's and P's properly. All right? And they manage the business end of this ministry. And they do a fantastic job. And they have the right to replace me at any time they should see fit. So therefore, you all be nice to them, yeah? Okay. Robert from Florida. My life is full of sin and I try to do good. And it works for a while, but then I go back to my old ways. My question is, how do I get rid of my sin before Jesus returns? Well, Robert, as long as you're in the flesh, you're going to have sin in your life occasionally, but that's what the word repent. That's why it's so precious to we that are in the flesh. Because when you do good and you fall, repent and get up and go again. That's a can-do type person. If I were you, I would not expect perfection as long as you're in the flesh. Because that would probably turn you into a self-righteous hypocrite, and good people don't like self-righteous hypocrites that close their eyes to their own faults. So just repent and know you're like the rest of us and do better each time you fall. And if it's something that is habitual, then pray to God that that habit be broken, giving you strength to overcome it each time. All right? Don't quit. Don't give up. And you'll be there on that final roll call. Estelle from California. I am from the Far East. Is the dragon in the Orient, which is a symbol of might, the same as the dragon in the Bible? Estelle, no, it isn't. The dragon in the Bible is simply an idiom of Satan. You will be able to document that, Estelle, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, whereby it stipulates that old dragon, which is the devil, which is Satan, was cast from heaven to earth by Michael. In other words, the dragon of the Bible is Satan himself, known as the son of perdition. Why is he called the son of perdition? Perdition means to perish. Satan is the one entity that has already been judged to death. There is no other. And it's the way it is. Satan is, he goes by many names, all right? Tony from Michigan, where in the Bible can I find where Judas was murdered and he repented? Well, you will find that he repented in any of the Gospels following his...
Let's go to the Father. Yahweh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message today, Father, as we reflect on the year of 1996, the year of our Lord, 1996, Father, we thank you for the blessings, and we have all been blessed, Father, with the truth of your word. That is the true blessing. Let us all rededicate ourselves to serving you, Father, in the year 1997. We know the blessings will continue if we focus on spreading the word of your truth, Father. As we enter this holiday season, Father, help us all to not get caught up in the commercialism, Father, that abounds at this time of year, but allow us to remember that the greatest gift of all was your gift, Yeshua Messiah, that we might have a chance at eternal life. We are eternally grateful, and we thank you for that, Father. Please be with those that are in need of healing, Father. We ask you to wrap your healing arms around them. Comfort those that are less fortunate this time of the year, Father. We'll be careful to give you the praise in Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus, the Lord. Amen.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. You have been viewing the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you are interested in obtaining more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer includes the Mark of the Beast audio tape, a newsletter with a written Bible study, a complete audio tape catalog, and a list of reference materials available through Shepherd's Chapel. You may request our free introductory offer by telephone. Call 1-800-643-4645. 24 hours a day to request the offer. You may also request by writing Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. That's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us and serious Bible students around the world for our next in-depth Bible study, Monday through Friday at the same time. Thank you for watching, and God bless you.
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning